Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
If you build it, he will come.
It's the City on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowell.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language it.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Paul Jones Drug Tuesday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Is Anthony Edwards taking a page out of the Phil Jackson book? Is he already planting seeds of doubt in the officials' minds before we even know if we get a Minnesota-OKC playoff series? Is he wise enough to think of that? Or is he just whining? Interesting after the game last night, in which Minnesota won in Oklahoma City. All right, we hit some high school hoops. Schedule for tonight. 2A through 4A rankings locked in yesterday. We can check those out. Maybe try to get an idea of maybe where some of the teams would be headed. We'll dive more in depth to the NFL conference championship games from Sunday. Get our thoughts on exactly kind of what happened over the weekend to get us to the Super Bowl 58. Dylan's jumped off the ledge. I think he's joking, though. Good news. He said, it's time for the Thunder to tank now. We'll get to the Thunder at the top
opposite.
Of the show.
I think what you said earlier about a potential playoff series looms, and I'm on board with it with those two teams.
Yeah, I don't know if I think the problem is Oklahoma City's going to have to win a series to be able to get into a spot to face Minnesota. And I think as teams start to – well, listen, there's no nights off anymore for them. Teams recognize that Oklahoma City is good. And now even some game planning for Shea. And it's just going to be an adjustment period for everyone else. You know, it's just kind of another bump in the road along the growth and the maturity of this team.
Which just begs the question, does Presti make a change? Does he be aggressive in the trade market?
How do you know?
You don't. I mean, I'm sorry.
How do you
asking.
Know? I mean, it's hilarious to me, and I guarantee you there's people like, get rid of Giddey. How do you know that that's, without ever seeing this team in a playoff series? Now, that's what Presti's paid to do.
Right.
But we're going to talk about this with the Thunder. What is the biggest weakness of the team? What is that biggest weakness? I think everyone will say one word, and I don't think it's right. I think there's a bigger weakness than what most people would say is the biggest issue. And then, of course, every trade you see possibility
answers that,
has a big, giant guy. Well, okay. Better get out of the way. Are you by getting Andre Drummond? Are you slowing down SGA on your own?
Yeah, you're clogging up the lane. Inadvertently, yeah.
So I don't think that's the biggest issue. It's an issue. There's no doubt about it. But and I think there's also, I mentioned it earlier in the year, just like when Oklahoma beat Texas in football, the expectations went too high. Too high. Yes, there you go. Rebounding. I don't think that's it. I don't. I think it's an issue. There's no doubt about it. I think it's a glaring issue, but I think there's a bigger one than that for me with what the Thunder need to, if they do address something, how they address it. Yeah. Split with Minnesota, so that the tie break is no longer in your hands. It'll go to something different. Division record, conference record, if that becomes a thing down the stretch. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. Get outside the listening area. A couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. It's got the radio. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of that Penny News will hit the website tonight at midnight. Check out the deals at thepennynews.com online. And, of course, you can go pick up a free copy of it Wednesday night, Thursday morning, all around the area. Big Elk and Paragon TV back on the air tonight as we get to the end of the regular season. Small school playoffs start next week. Don't forget Tucker Family Beef, 8 for State. We'll put out a post on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page that you can reply to there, or you can text in the show with your 8 for State and Class A and B, boys and girls. It's always fun. It's a fun contest. And then let's see, the podcast, you can find it anywhere. How are you today, Jared?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I am just fine. Looking forward to one of the longer trips that I get. They're all stacked up here at the end with Chickasha today.
And then
next week, Duncan and Kingfisher.
Duncan's a drive.
You don't realize how far Kingfisher is.
No, you don't.
Kingfisher's every bit as far as Chickasha.
You think, you're right.
You're just going the opposite way on the highway.
Yeah, it kind of feels like when you get to Reno, Chickasha's right there, and it's not. You go through.
See, I think that of Kingfisher.
I meant Kingfisher. Okay, I'm okay. Sorry. I meant Kingfisher. Because don't you go through Okarchee? You go through Dover, don't you?
No.
Whereas Dover's on the other side.
Okarchee's after Kingfisher, but it's a trek up there.
I made that trip going that way, going up to Enid. I had family mm-hmm. up there, going up there a lot. And, yeah, you're right. You think it's just right there.
It's not quite as far as Chickasha, but it's pretty darn close. It really is.
Yeah.
It's maybe 15 minutes closer.
Duncan, man, how do you feel about that?
That's a long way.
That's a trip. I made that trip last summer.
Wish it was a Friday.
Yeah, I bet. It's a Tuesday?
Ooh, yeah, boy, next Tuesday, a week from today. And then cash is an easy trip.
It's a pretty drive down there. You go around Madison Park. You go around, you know.
That's how you would go?
That's how I went.
I've asked a couple of people that have experience driving to mm-hmm. Duncan. There was numerous different different routes.
I've been to a lot of places, but I've never been to Duncan. My first time was last summer, and that's the way we went. We went down around
Carnegie.
Yeah. I'm trying to think where'd we go down south?
You end up over by Fort Sill.
Yeah, we went over through Cordell and then jogged down south, like through Carnegie.
Went south out of Carnegie.
Yeah, until it basically dead ends and jogs back east there. You just kind of follow that highway.
Yeah.
Yeah, real pretty area. When we're around the lake there. What lake is that?
Latonka.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, went down there to Duncan to what we thought was going to be a full day of softball and got rained out. Only got like two games in.
Duncan's got a couple of great golf courses on the text line there.
Yeah.
Territory's one of them.
Yeah,
and there's one in town.
Wasn't there the amateur thing, the Oklahoma, mm-hmm. or the Oklahoma, what was that? That didn't Ryder
stroke
win?
Play.
Cowan won that. Or Cowan, Cowan won that
yeah,
one.
Stroke yeah. play.
Down there at Duncan.
Yeah, they're the course in town. We played there in high school, and it's really interesting. So you play the front nine, and it's got kind of a mixture of holes. Then on number 10, it's a par 3, and you tee off from basically the patio.
Of the clubhouse?
Yes. Like, you can almost...
A little intimidating.
No, it's right there. I mean, I'm telling you, like, if somebody's not paying attention, they walk out, they might get a club to the jaw.
Oh, boy.
If you're in a backswing. It's not quite that close, but it's close. And then after that, you play 8 straight par fours.
Oh. Talk about loosening you up, man.
It's just weird. You know, a lot of times it's not... You know, they're in there, but yeah. 8 straight par fours to finish. It seems like there's one tee box, oh, maybe like 13 or 14, that if you get kind of jammed up and you're waiting, you know, there's problems ahead. You can just like kind of jump the little fence and go get you a shake at Brahms. Seems like there's Brahms like right there. Like basically jutted up to the club, or to the tee box. I mean,
did you see the video? I saw this over the weekend, and I don't know how old this video is. It was kind of wild in my mind. A group of 10 guys went golfing, and they got the first 3 tee times, like 8, 8:15, 8:30. So they wouldn't hold up, but they're all golfing on the same tee box. These 10 guys. It was like a bachelor party type thing. And then these two women, older women, came behind them complaining, "You guys can't golf with 10 guys." And they're like, "Well, we got the first 3 tee times to prevent this." "No, you didn't. We got the first tee times." Like, "No, we got," and they had the receipt and everything. It was just wild because I caught this argument with these two older ladies with these 10 young guys, and the insults were wild coming from the older ladies. It was funny.
I can promise you one thing.
What's that?
That's not the group of people you want to upset on the golf course.
The older ladies?
Yes.
No. They were giving it right back to them. And then those guys were like, "Hey, fine, go ahead, play through." But they were still yelling at them as they were driving. They were teeing off and yelling back at them. "So you can't do that."
Was there a Sonny in there at all?
Probably. I only watched it a couple times.
"You're not
times.
Doing things right, Sonny."
Because I watched it. I was like, "What? No, what's going on here?" And I realized, because the guys calmly explained it, said, "We got the first 3 tee times so we could golf together and not hold everybody up." And they were, the ladies were adamant, "No, we got the first tee time." Like, "No, you didn't." It was kind of funny.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Don't mess with them, though.
I wouldn't mess with them.
No, yeah.
Generations Marlowe. I have heard that is a cool course. I have heard that's a cool course. Oh, man, I'd like to have seen that.
What?
One of AJ and I's mutual friends almost get beat to death out of Rio Doce on a golf course. I'd have loved to have seen that.
By an old lady?
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's the group of people you don't want to upset. It's just the truth.
I believe it. I believe it.
No, we're getting a word for those people.
Yeah.
For those ladies.
Yeah. It was funny when they let the lady tee off. I mean, she shanked it bad into the woods. So I thought, now you're going to be waiting on her.
Sorry.
More texts?
Yeah. We're starting to use names. Local ones now. Oh, dear.
Probably.
Oh, man.
You probably shouldn't.
No, I'm not saying. No. That will not.
You might get some words your next visit out to the golf course.
Yes. I don't know how we got to this, but we have.
I don't know.
Here we are.
We really go off the beaten path sometimes.
It's all because of the text line.
The text line really takes us here. You're right. They would start injecting more examples or other stuff, which is gold, by the way. It's just awesome. Man.
That one got me. I wasn't ready to see that. That one got me pretty good. Okay. All right, last night, the Oklahoma City Thunder had a chance to sew up the season series against Minnesota, also stay on top of the Western Conference with a win. It was the playoff-type game. Way lower scoring, defensive battle between them and the Timberwolves. And OKC had a late lead, and then Minnesota closed with the Fury to pull away and win 107-101. Shea had 37, but Minnesota was the team that made the shots, made the plays defensively, offensively, down the stretch of this game. You know, and that's something we've kind of become accustomed to the Thunder doing, whether it be J-Dub or, mm-hmm. or SGA or whoever else. But when you look at the stat lines, Dort and Chet go a combined 2 of 16, 0 of 8 from 3, and score 6 points combined. Yeah, that's going to be kind of the undoing of it, right? I mean, everybody on the Minnesota side in the starting lineup was in double figures. And then Oklahoma City gets 6 from those guys. And nobody off the bench really stepped up to a higher level to make up for that difference. You know, Wiggins is pretty good, 3 of 3 again. Seems like he's always kind of that. But Oklahoma City falls for the second straight time, now 32-15, kind of in a virtual tie with Denver, which they play tomorrow night. Once again at home, once again with a chance to win that season series 3-1, that could really help, you know, with the seeding in the playoffs. I think this loss, one, it's another one of those. I think it was the Laker game or the Clipper game, where it felt more like a postseason game than a regular season game, and you start to see some of the flaws that Oklahoma City has. When it's not just a free-for-all up and down the floor, you know, just a night in the NBA. Everybody knew that this game had a little bit more ramifications for the win, whether it be the All-Star game, whether it be winning the season series for Oklahoma City and what that can mean down the stretch. And so it was played at a more playoff pace. That's the way Minnesota plays anyway with those big guys. They can play there as good a defensive team as there is in the league. And OKC just at the end couldn't make the plays, and they lose 107-101. And so now a turnaround with Denver tomorrow. The positive things are in the remaining, let's see, they played 47 games, so that would be, what, 35 left. Oklahoma City's remaining strength of schedule is like 28th best in the league, so that things are going to finally start to slow down a little bit competition-wise for Oklahoma City, especially after the All-Star break. But you know, those are a loss like last night is one of those you look back on here in the 1st of April and go, dang, they had a lead with close. I mean, it was just one point lead, I think, maybe with under 3 to go. And you're like, ugh, I hate that one got away. Or that could be the difference between, you know, hosting and not hosting, or, you know, a better matchup maybe than a different team. So, you know, it was just, I think that loss last night probably is a little bit more important because of what happened Sunday and losing to the lowly Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, that's where I go back to that game first. You got to win those games. You have to win to be able to survive games like that when, in the grand scheme of things. Like those games at Detroit, that game last night, it felt like a playoff game, honestly, but with no larger margin than what? I can't remember the largest margin of any team. Maybe Oklahoma City by 4. I know Minnesota was on a run there.
Minnesota led by 10. Oklahoma City 10, led by 7.
7. There you go. And then you just knew it, even a lead like 10 or 7 was not safe. And I don't know. I find it as complimentary for both teams. I think they're both evenly matched. But you got to protect your home court and win those games, and see what can be adjusted. Now they got to turn around and quickly answer Denver. And what's crazy to me is if they can go and beat Denver, and then we could – I mean, can we have that – I mean, are they – I don't know. I mean, Minnesota's kind of the same boat as – did they come into the season as legit contenders?
No.
Did they in your mind? And here no. They are fighting for a one seed in the West along with Oklahoma City. And it still kind of feels like, well, how long is that going to even last? You know, when do the Clippers start to make their
– Clippers are already there.
I know, but when they get up there to the 1-2 area.
Well, but that all of this is – that's the point of what – it doesn't matter to a lot of these other teams. And maybe it does more to Minnesota or Oklahoma City because they're new. And they're more – especially the Thunder are more built to handle the regular season – you know, the 5 games and 7 nights because of the youth. Second youngest team in the NBA. But that doesn't make a damn when you start playing every other night in the playoffs, right? And it's like literally two totally different sports. a regular season, you know, the 82 games there versus a seven-game series. I think in a weird way, man, if you're Oklahoma City, the idea of hosting is a big deal. You know what I mean? I think that's a big deal to be in that top four, just to be able to host playoff games. But the truth is that 1-2, I don't know that that's where they want to be. And why I say that is because of who could be coming out of the play-in. The Lakers is a terrible playoff matchup for Oklahoma City. It just is. We've seen them when they played. Oklahoma City doesn't really have an answer for LeBron. Oklahoma City doesn't really have an answer for Anthony Davis. It's not a good matchup. I think you're trying to figure out a way to play. It's crazy to say Phoenix with what they've got, but Phoenix isn't going to beat you up. And neither is Sacramento. I mean, a Sacramento-Oklahoma City first-round series, that would be a blast because they're both kind of the same. We saw the Kings. Oklahoma City is kind of the Kings of last year. Burst onto the scene, young, built more for the regular season than the playoffs. And what happened? They hosted Golden State and they got beat in a playoff series because of the way the game is played. And that's where, when we get to the next question, what's the biggest flaw? What do you think is the biggest weakness of this team?
Well, I think the majority will say rebounding and have a lack of size.
28th in the league in rebounding. That's obviously a concern. There's no doubt about it. And I think you're right. I think 90% of the league or Thunder fans would probably say rebounding far and away number one. I mean, just like that reaction to that question is, bang, rebounding, need a big guy. You know, whatever that is. And there's no doubt that that is a concern.
And I go there because that was a concern in a way, way back when Sam traded for Perk. Like, and then when he got him, and Thunder fans said, oh, there it is. That's the missing piece. There it is. That's the guy they need.
Well, and it was. It was to get out of the West.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, like, I'm looking for similarities between then and now. You know, does it kind of mirror? Because we've always said, I mean, this is like a second iteration of a youthful Thunder team that's going to be competing for years on end. Does it go the same route? Does Sam go the same route? And that's, you know, go after a big guy in the trade? Maybe not even this year. Maybe next year. I don't know. But or does he do something different to kind of, okay, well, that's what I did last time.
Yeah, but the league is so much different than it was last time.
Right.
I mean, Perk was almost
the end of a dying breed, almost.
Well, but he was so necessary when you looked at what the Thunder had to go through in the Western Conference at the time to get to the finals. It was Bynum and Gasol at the Lakers, Tim Duncan down at San Antonio. He had to have an answer to guard those guys in the paint at the rim. And Oklahoma City had none of that until they made that trade. The problem was, and you know, you can almost put this to say like OU football. You have to have a certain defensive type guy to be able to get out of the Big 12, but you have to have a totally different type guy to be able to stop SEC teams.
Yeah.
With the style, you know, the bigger guys. And that's where the Thunder got into trouble with the rigidity of what Scott or how Scott Brooks coached. They had to have Perkins to get to the finals. But once they got to the finals, you couldn't play Perkins. You know, people got all over Billy Donovan in that Rocket series after KD left for saying Cantor can't play. Well, he was right. What Cantor supplied offensively didn't do enough to negate the issues they had with him on the floor defensively. And we all know Perk didn't do that. But it was the opposite. His defense wasn't good enough to be able to to make up for the lack of offense that he provided. And that's the hard part for if you're Presti, and of course, you know, if team loses a couple of games, then it's, okay, what are we going to do? We've got to fix this, you know, and the trade deadline looms next week. How do we fix it? What do we – it's an impossible spot because, one, no one – even right now, do you really consider them a title contender? I don't. I mean, I don't know how you can because you haven't seen it. But then there's the idea of making moves for certain matchups. Well, it's an impossible spot in my mind because you don't know what these guys look like when the game changes in the playoffs. You don't know. And the chemistry that they have built is fantastic. And it's obviously by design. I'm sure there's certain things that Presti looks at organizationally with somebody coming in, whether it be the draft, whether it be a trade, you know, whatever that might be. There's something there from that standpoint that he knows player A is going to fit with these guys. That's the whole goal of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think it's really hard to know what that is, what you really need or who you really need or who could fit that spot until you see these guys in those battles. At the same time, they are pretty good. They are pretty close. And you hate to waste a year. We've seen that, right? After 2012, it's like, oh, yeah, just we'll see you in the finals. We'll see you in the finals for years to come.
Yeah.
And still haven't been back. So, you know, you hate to – if they truly believe that the Thunder could be an actual contender, you hate to just waste a year by not making any moves. But you also – this is the window is just now opening. It's nowhere near closing for this team. And so, you know, giving up on somebody earlier than you should have or making that move, it's a pretty interesting question. So what is the biggest weakness for you? Is it rebounding? Is it?
I don't know. It's like a chicken egg thing. I mean, you don't want, like we talked about, you don't want to go and overreact and then change up chemistry just because you think we got to get a big guy. I don't know. What's the depth look like coming off the bench?
Well, I mean, there's Jalen Williams, Arkansas, right, who's 6'7" or 6'8", and then he's not the answer to the rebounding problems, or they wouldn't be there.
Well, I'm in depth overall.
Oh, they're incredibly deep.
When you go in there, yeah.
Who, the Thunder?
Right.
The Thunder are incredibly
deep. I mean, I'm trying
deep.
To find something other than rebounding. That's what I'm trying to do.
I will. I'll tell you what it is. Go look at the numbers when Shea's on the floor and when Shea's off the floor scoring. If you'll notice, Oklahoma City scores 31 a game in the first quarter. Then there's always a little dip to start the second quarter, it feels like, when he goes and sits down. And I know a lot of people go, oh, they're just full of guards. Maybe. But who are they full of that can run the team?
That's a good point.
Especially if you want to give up on Giddey. He's the natural answer with the way he plays. I'm really kind of surprised that he hasn't already taken over that role as the, maybe not even the sixth man, but, you know, if you want to start him, play him 6 minutes, set him the last half of the first quarter, and then now he's ready to come in and run the second team. That's clearly not what they have in mind for him, or it doesn't look like. It's almost been J-Dub that's had that responsibility more than even Giddey. So that really doesn't make sense to me, but to somebody to score when SGA is off the floor, I think that is the biggest weakness they have. And facilitate. They have guys that can make shots. Wiggins, Joe, who, you know, Kenrich. But who do they have that can create those shots if Shea isn't out there? Because think about when the other guys have been good at scoring it. They're playing with Shea. Right, and he's creating those shots for a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
The bench guys, when they play some of their minutes with him.
Well, that's just, yeah, it's like just as an example, we, you know, just seen this last week, Fort Cobb and Cray Rogers, he makes everyone around him good because of what he does personally. He attracts so much attention. That's what Shea does.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And that goes away when he's not out there.
Sure.
And it becomes a lot harder to score. So, in my mind, that either scoring punch or somebody to run the team, you know, you hear all day long right here on this, on these airwaves about, oh, they got too many guards, can't trade for another guard. See, I think that's completely the opposite. I think they need one more. And especially if you're not gonna, if you're giving up on Giddey. So that's the next question, I think, leading up into the trade deadline. Is Josh Giddey on this team after the deadline?
I say yay. I think he will be. Because I think there's still a role for him on this team. That's part of it. Another part of it is I don't know if where does he fit in elsewhere?
Oh, I think he fits a lot more places than here.
I think what and then I know we'll cross the bridge when we get there when having to pay all these guys. But also Sam has a bag full of picks they can't use. So I mean he'll be more inclined to use those to acquire than move out Giddey, I think.
Is Josh Giddey on this team to start the season next year?
Nah, ask me in July.
I'm not going to ask you in July. It may already be done.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think he survives this trade deadline, but I think the offseason's a different story.
I kind of do too. And here's what's going to happen with Josh Giddey. I'm just going to tell you right now. He's going to go somewhere else where he can play the way that he needs to play. And Thunder fans are going to go, oh, why did we ever trade him? But he's going to be allowed. Listen, you're not going to give Josh Giddey the ball in lieu of Shea. And quite frankly, even now, in lieu of Jalen Williams, J-Dub. You're not going to – that's he's easily the third choice. That's why you've either got to put him on the bench and let him run the second team in those minutes that Shea's off the floor, or you got to get rid of him and get something for him because he is not developing with his role as this team is constructed. He's just not. The Thunder are not using Josh Giddey, not accentuating his strengths, but rather showing the glaring weakness. He can't shoot. He's not a shooter yet. He's super young, and that's the part that really kind of scares you to get rid of him because of what he could blossom into. But you mentioned the paying thing. It sure seems like it's fairly obvious that Shea, J-Dub, and Chet are the three guys
they're gonna
to
get
pay.
It. Yeah.
And at that point, you get yourself into a position where you don't want a Kendrick Perkins' contract to keep you from being able to fill your needs in a playoff series or heading into a playoff run. I don't know that Presti does much at the deadline. Maybe some smaller move. I don't think it'll be some earth-shattering move.
No.
Because he wants to see what happens in the playoffs
right.
with this team.
And that's why I said he could use some picks. And I think he'll get a guy. He's good at finding guys. I know he didn't, and I mentioned this before, he didn't trade to get Fisher. But I thought it was big to get a veteran dude in the locker room. And maybe that's our answer. Maybe that's what they're looking for, is just somebody to galvanize the team. And they're already – I mean, they work great together. They're friends and all that stuff. But – we talk about in the regular season versus the postseason and playoff run. These guys have no idea what it means or how maybe even to win a playoff series. Well, get a guy in there that can or that knows, that's been in there, that understands what it takes. And just to, like, I need you to be a leader, you know, like a David Justice off of Moneyball. I'm not paying you to get out there and get hit. I'm paying you to be in the clubhouse, you know. So get a guy like that. And you don't have to give up a lot to get a guy like that. So a guy that's, hey, yeah, you want to bring me on to continue my career? Absolutely. I'll come off the bench and do what I need to do, and I'll show these guys how to do this in the playoffs. So not a splashy move, but I wouldn't be surprised to hear a guy go, oh, yeah, he was good a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on that team that made that run back then.
That's the way it always seemed to happen, right?
Yeah.
You'd want these certain guys at certain times with KD and Russ, and then about 3 years later, there they were.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like Randy Foy was one of them.
Yeah.
Fisher even at the end of his career.
Exactly.
You're like, man, sure would have been nice to have him.
When he was hitting those
threes. When he was still good.
Right.
All right, we'll be back on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
But is having this minor skill worth being so unattractive? That's for the fan to decide.
Yay!
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday.
Yeah, here's good news for you.
What is
it? Sorry, tell us about Paul Jones. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Tell us about Rodney's outfit over there.
Rodney. Rodney Skinner at Paul Jones Drug. Care you can trust at 809 North Main, right here in Elk City. They are the oldest compounding pharmacy in town. Free local delivery, drive-through pickup, curbside testing, and vaccination. Of course, the blister packs, which is their long-term care unit packaging. Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main, is care you can trust.
For our interest, what's cool for us, we love going to good press boxes during football season, right? We love that. Clinton is going to try to build a new press box, which seems like a long time coming. I think they'll tell you that too, but they're gonna go to a bond in April, go to the people, and not only that, there's other stuff too. But the thing that stood out to me as reading this article was they already got the field and so when we kind of go over there and go, well, we got to go get in that press box. Well, now they're gonna build a new one. Hopefully, they're gonna build a new one. I like to see that when it comes to the press boxes.
Yeah, we'd finally gotten it figured out there as far as when they opened up that middle to the cameras from everybody, and we didn't have to, you know, the 1 year Drew was over basically on the light stand.
Oh, yeah.
Across the field.
Yeah.
You know, that was rough. That was a rough angle.
Speaking of Clinton, I know we have listeners when you go over there to play basketball, and one of the listeners said, hey, listen to the show. Appreciate the kind words. That's from Coach Jefferson, 02. Oh,
yeah.
Say that, no problem, buddy.
Good stuff.
And he has a pretty good little fifth grade team that whipped our butts.
I know the seventh grade team's pretty good, too.
Pretty good. He's got it going on.
Speaking of seventh graders, the old seventh grade Elks won again last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like five or six in a row.
Well, don't touch them. They're hot. Who they play?
Today against Weatherford. Last night was Hollis.
Hollis, okay.
Hollis jumped out. I don't know. I just know the numbers. Number 12. He was dominant. Getting to the rim. It was like 11-3. Hollis was ahead. I think the final score was 41-16.
It's in the middle school. School, the old gym.
Yeah.
I seen a picture on Facebook last night. Yesterday was so pretty and the sun was shining when it comes through. On those windows there on the north side. That's cool. Kind of feels like a mini Fog Allen.
It was hot in there.
Oh, I bet. Oh, I remember team camps in that building. Woo.
It gets so loud.
Yes, it does.
You know, it was the end of the third quarter. One of the guys that doesn't play a ton was in there, and it was a 2-on-1 fast break, and he laid it in. It was clearly after the buzzer. So, I mean, it's not like getting on any official here. It's clearly after the buzzer. But the whole, like, behind the bench, you know, it's still how it was. Like, a bunch of the other middle school students were all standing up, making noise. And when he laid it in, the little guy laid it in, I mean, everybody went nuts. And nobody even cared that the ref wiped it off. Took it away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like everybody's going crazy. Nobody even noticed. It's a good thing they didn't notice. They might have booed him out of the gym. And I was like, golly. He was obviously the right call. I mean, it's like the buzzer went off when he was about to shoot it. But I thought to myself, do you just hate fun?
Yeah.
That was so much fun.
I saw a situation last week where it was a junior high game. I won't say the names of the teams, and they did not involve Canute. So it was two other teams from Western Oklahoma, and there was a little guy that you could tell didn't get on the court very much for whatever reason, and everybody's rooting for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody yeah. was rooting for it. They'd give him the ball, he'd miss a shot. Everybody let him rebound it, get another shot. Well, at one point he got the rebound, and he obviously walked. They didn't call the walk, but there's one guy in the stands yelling, "Walk! That's a walk!" Dear. I'm like, do you not realize what's going on?
No.
There were people kind of around him, kind of groaning and looking at him. I don't think he realized what was happening. He just finally looked up from his bag of popcorn and saw.
He was being a fun hater.
He was. Like, dude. Score was lopsided, yeah. and they're trying to get this kid in the books.
And there's you see that from time to time.
I'm like, what are you doing? It's not a – yes, it's a walk, but it's – come on. It
would have been worse if he'd have been yelling at his own kid, block him out! Get the rebound!
Oh, yeah.
All right, bro. No, it was fun times. Fun times, yeah. Considering they didn't win a game before Christmas.
That is called improvement.
That's
now
good. Five in a – is that five in a row or six in a row? Maybe five in a
row. That's good. It's a good life lesson right there. Even though things don't start out well, you could always – turn it around.
Beat El Reno, Clinton twice, Hollis last night. There was another, at least one more in between there. So, anyhow, good stuff. Good stuff there. All right. We talked a little bit about the football yesterday. Maybe some bigger questions that come out of those games.
Hey, bad news, by the way. I saw that at Vegas, all the private parking for planes is sold out. So, I'm sorry, you can't rent your private plane.
Well, shoot.
Yeah, you might have to land in Reno and commute down or something. Just heads up.
Who do you give the most credit to for the Chiefs' win in Baltimore?
Mahomes. That's the easy answer. But for what he does... It goes back to why I say it until I won't bet against him until he consistently loses and blows these big games. But he makes everybody, kind of like basketball, he makes everybody around him better. I think, and they go in, they went in, they were punking on the kicker for crying out loud to start the game. They went in with that edge, and I think that starts with him, with the quarterback. They go in going, we got Mahomes. We got this guy. We got to have a chance to win. And that confidence just exudes and spreads throughout the team. I'll give him a bunch of credit. Plus, he played pretty good.
30 of 39, 241, a touchdown. You know, a lot of – well, all the points were scored in the first half. All 17, and then Baltimore shut him down in the second half. But
– and a good point on the text line.
I'm going to go halvesies. I'm going to go halvesies, and it's literally the halves. Mahomes, I mean, you can – Kelce – Mahomes and Kelce are – as good a postseason duo as there's ever been. Throwing and catching. You know, 11 catches, 116 and a touchdown.
The dude can run wrong routes and it makes it look good. They make it look good. They're that in key, in sync with each other.
So you've got Mahomes just settling everything down, getting that lead that is vital on the road. And then I thought Spags and that defense were awesome. You know, Snead making that play on the goal line. As Flowers is going, I mean, they're just huge plays that were made by the defense. So, you know, it's kind of the first half award for me goes to Mahomes, and then it's the defense after that. Just shutting things down and keeping that, making 17 enough to win the game. Who catches the most flack on the Baltimore side?
Lamar. For me, it's Lamar. I mean, his best pass was to himself. and it's always going to be Lamar until he can win those big games.
Yeah, is it Lamar's fault that Zay Flowers fumbled at the goal
That's
line?
True.
You know, the pass he threw into the end zone for that pick was just uncalled for. It had basically triple coverage. He thought likely had a step, but he didn't see the safety from the other side who came over and picked it off. That was a terrible decision. With the second down inside the 30. As a matter of fact, I'm just seeing the play right now. I mean, he just wasn't any good at all. But at the end of the day, I think it's Monken. I think it's Monken for handing the ball to his running backs 6 times. The best running team in football abandoned the run in the biggest game of the year. Part of that goes to Lamar for just not trying to use his legs. Part of it gives credit to Kansas City for hemming him in and not allowing him to beat him with his legs. But Monken has to be more committed to running the football with the running backs. Gus Edwards had 3 carries for 20 yards. He averaged 7 a tote and got it 3. It's, you know, there's that conversation of, you know, you got to be committed to how you got there, you know, which Dan Campbell clearly was. And now he's catching flack for that.
Yeah.
But there's also the idea of, you know, trying to change it up and throw, you know, some curveballs. Listen, that Lamar is helped by the way they play. And I thought Monken really kind of tied one of Lamar's arms behind his back by putting it all on his shoulders. And here's what's proven. Maybe Lamar isn't that guy.
Now, how many times have we seen, maybe not just an offensive coordinator, maybe even a head coach that goes into the game plan, where they try to outsmart the opposing team and they just wind up outsmarting themselves? Right? Like they knew going in, Kansas City knows we can run the ball really well. So what we're going to do is throw. We're going to throw them a curveball. We're going to throw the ball all over the place. And it didn't work, clearly. But you see that a lot, right? Like, what are you doing? Just do what you do best. Do what got you here. Don't abandon anything. That has to be incredibly frustrating. And I kind of feel sorry for Lamar, because he's probably thinking, what were we doing? Why were we calling those plays?
37 passes and 16 rushes. No one saw that coming on the Ravens side. That's not how they play.
No, that number should have been flipped.
No, I'm thinking, and they ran almost 40 less plays. That's the beauty of Mahomes.
Yeah, that was the thing. Kansas City's time of possession. Oh, you have that.
Almost 30.
At one point, they were doubled up early in the game. And I remember thinking, yeah, it doesn't feel like Baltimore's even
37.5 to 22.5.
Yeah. That's how good teams beat good teams too. Don't let them touch the ball.
And you never know. And you know, with all the RPO that invades football now, you never know how many of those plays Monken called to run the ball, and Lamar saw what he saw and decided to pull it and throw it.
That's true.
You know, like on the text line, all he heard was he can't throw to win. Was he out there trying to prove a point, and the point wasn't proven? But I mean, as much as you give all the credit to Kansas City as they deserve, Baltimore just made soul-crushing mistakes. And they lose the turnover battle 3-0 and get beat by 7. I mean, that tells me the best team didn't win. You know what I'm saying? They play that game multiple times. I think you see the Ravens win a series, but kudos to Mahomes and Kansas City for winning the game that mattered. Where is Mahomes? Top 10 already? Top 5 already? Higher? Where do you put him?
Of all time? God, that's a great question. I mean, if you're weighing it by how many championships he's has, plus, you know, AFC, plus obviously Super Bowls, he's up there. From the text line, Dakota says top 3 is, or right at 3. I don't know. Let me think about this. Around 3 or 4, yeah. There's Brady with the titles. You got, man. Has he surpassed Manning? hard to argue not. I mean, he...
I don't think so, but...
You don't think so?
No.
It was Brady, Manning. Who else you putting up there?
I think Elway's there. Montana. There's a lot of guys you can put up there. I think he's already in the top 10 easily.
Oh, that...
Easily in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
He's won two Super Bowls. What do you mean, how is he not... Joe Montana went 4-0 in the Super Bowl. Now, he is on a track to pass everybody but maybe Brady, or even contend with Brady as far as the rings. But here's where I mean, he's also tied with Ben and Eli at the moment with two. I mean, he wins this game, then there's a pretty good conversation about exactly where he is in that top five. Being this young and probably a little bit of projection to where he might end up, ring-wise. But if he loses this game, he's right there with Ben and Eli, and also Peyton and John Elway. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just where he's at. And he's so young, and he's been so impressive. And I think it's so much more important now than some of the other years, to where I'm not telling you he has to get to 7 even to pass Brady in my mind. If he gets 5 Super Bowls in this era, and the way he plays and the way he controls things, heck, who knows? I might agree to put him at the top. But yeah, his youth is, that's the crazy thing, is the youth. But we're handing him rings that he hasn't won yet in our minds.
Yeah.
Like for his career.
Yeah. It's
and
funny,
he just hasn't.
It's funny you bring up Eli, because no one's putting Eli in their top 10.
No. And I wouldn't either. I'm just pointing out the devil's advocate of it.
Yeah. How do you weigh it? Is it Super Bowl titles? Is it records? Is it winning percentage? It's a little bit of everything.
It is.
So.
And being able to see those guys.
But the common fan's going to say, well, who has the most rings? Who's hoisted the most titles? And that's where they'll start and end things. And when they say that, that's your argument. Go, well, are you really putting Eli Manning up there? Are you really putting him in that conversation?
I mean, there's a bunch of people that don't think Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer, and he's won 2 Super Bowls.
No.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's just the truth.
And if we're going to say he won't beat Brady because on the text line because he lost to him head-to-head, didn't Eli beat Brady twice?
Eli beat Brady twice in the Super Bowl. Well, here's the thing. The only quarterback to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs is Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He beat him with the Pats in the first AFC title game, and he beat him with the Bucs in the Super Bowl. He's the only – I mean, and maybe that should weigh in Mahomes' favor.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Mere mortals couldn't beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Only the GOAT
can beat
Pat Mahomes in the playoffs.
I think what also is impressive is...
Which is why it's going to be so weird when Purdy beats him.
Yeah. What's impressive is, for Mahomes anyway, for me, is when, you know, this is a day and age where free agency is running rampant at times. And guys can demand trades and leave teams and all that stuff. And he alone, he's the common denominator at Kansas City. I know there's other like Creed Humphreys, obviously Kelsey and others. But, you know, when they lost Kareem Hunt, I thought, well, they're going to take a step back. Right? That was such a dynamic duo. They're going to, and they haven't.
Who? Oh, you mean Tyreek?
I mean Tyreek Hill. Why did I say Kareem Hunt? I'm sorry. Tyreek Hill.
He was there too, though. Kareem Hunt was there too.
Hunt was there too. But you see what I'm saying, though? That's what's impressive to me. We mentioned guys like Elway and others from, you know, those 90s or Aikman. And it was always a core of players all the time, even offensive linemen all the time. And nowadays it's, well, how much – I can make more money over here, or I can go over here. I can be the star over here, let loose. This fits my style better. And it's just more fluid. He's been the common guy, more or less.
What's
going to add to that is when Kelsey retires, which is coming sooner than later, when he retires, and obviously Mahomes will still be there, can he consistently still play at a high, I mean, or get his team playing for these conference champ games and even Super Bowls.
That's why this year is so impressive to me, because nobody thought they were going to – everybody's like, oh, they're – you know, the pass catchers can't catch. Mahomes is going down. That's why this one, he is proving to be a lot what Brady was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You give Brady Welker and Randy Moss, they score the most points in the history of the game and almost went undefeated. You give Brady Danny Amendola and Edelman, he just wins the Super Bowl. You know what right. I mean? That's kind of the way it feels like Mahomes is on that track, and that's why I can understand maybe putting him higher now than he deserves, just because there's no reason for any of us to believe that this train is going off the tracks. Right?
Right.
There's no reason to believe that at this point because of him. And he has – that was always the question mark, right? When he gets the money and he starts getting paid, can he elevate everybody else around him in the way that Brady did? And the answer to that is a resounding hell yes. He just did. Like, you can't – it's hard to imagine that he'll have a worse supporting cast at the receiver spot ever again in his career than he had this year. And they're in the Super Bowl. That's what was always so scary about Brady, and it's what's so scary about him as you move forward. Yeah, and then you've got – you know,
there's no final answer. I mean, it's going to be fluid until his career is done. And there's going to be, like I said, Kelsey retiring.
There'll be different bumps. Andy Reid retiring.
Andy Reid, that's where I was going next. So there's going to be bumps along his career road. Let's see how he navigates it, like Tom did, and see how that works out.
We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients with their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery. It's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
It's in the hole.
Welcome back. Wrapping up a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. What an interesting question on the text line. And it's, that question is Andy Reid better than Belichick?
It's a great question.
I think your snap answer is, what? No. No way. But should it be? All right, let's see here. 41 and 55. Okay, so remember 55, Jared. I'll remember 41.
Okay.
41 and 17 is 58. 58 and 12, that's 70. So I've got 70, and you've got what, 55?
Mm-hmm.
So 55 and 16 is 71. 71 and 12 is 83. So 70 and 83 is Belichick's record without Tom. Now, he also does have six Super Bowls with Tom. But 70 and 83 without him. Six Super Bowls with him. Andy Reid, only two Super Bowls so far, both with Mahomes. But... his record without Mahomes at Philly, 130-93. He made one Super Bowl, played in four other NFC championship games in which they lost at Philly before going to Kansas City. So, it's an interesting debate.
It is. It is.
You know, Belichick's won 302 games, Reid 258. But the winning percentage for Andy Reid is going to be very similar. Yeah, 647 for Bill, 641 for Reid. I think you can make that case. I think you can make that case, Jared. Bill Belichick played one Bill Belichick played two. Playoff games without Tom Brady. Andy Reid played 19 without Patrick Mahomes.
Got some breaking news.
What you got?
The Big 12 football schedule has been released.
Ooh. That'll be a great topic of conversation tomorrow.
First Big 12 game for OSU hosting Utah. September 21st. Just some. Then turn around at Kansas State.
When does Deion come? Do they play? Does Deion come here this year? I think
it
so.
It is at Colorado. Oh, it's at Colorado. Last game of the year, November 30th. And it's actually going to be the 29th. They're going to play on a Friday night.
So that'll be the Friday of Thanksgiving.
Yes. They have five home games. Their last home game against Arizona State is November 2nd. Then they end the season three on the road with a bye week in there. No, wait. I take that back. Oh, this is all color-coded weird. You'll see what I'm looking at. It says... So they have, like, different shades of white and then gray, and gray if you're on the road.
Yeah, here it is right here.
Am I reading that wrong? You see this composite schedule?
I'm just looking at one that OSU tweeted out.
I might be wrong. I think they actually
Tech is at home.
Tech at home, but yep. You have to see what I'm looking at with the.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be able to figure that out.
It's wrong.
So their home game,
Big 12 screwed up again.
Home games are San Diego State, Arkansas, Utah, West Virginia, Arizona State, Texas Tech.
Tech is the last home game.
Yeah.
Then they go to Colorado on a Friday night. By the way, that BYU game on the 19th is either going to be Friday or Saturday. They're going to figure that one out.
In October,
October 19th.
They go to Tulsa, Kansas State, BYU, Baylor, TCU, and Colorado. No Arizona on the schedule, which we don't know what they're going to be with Fish gone.
Oh, no. They appear to be in the – no, they're not.
No UCF on the schedule either. That probably helps. I think UCF's one of those pretty good teams.
Yeah. Right, what kind of Arkansas are they going to get?
Yeah.
Won't really know second game of the year. Arkansas won't even know who they are either.
So still Sam Pittman.
That could be interesting. The Utah, man. If they can get by that one, at Manhattan's going to be tough. But very navigable, favorable schedule. That OSU can navigate here.
For the last six on the road, starting with that BYU game in the middle of October.
That one, yeah, you'd prefer a little bit more of the home games. At Fort Worth, you never know. Could be tough.
4 of 6 to start at home, 4 of 6 on the road to finish. Yeah, we'll have to look at that. Because I think that's with these huge conferences that everybody's going to, the schedule is going to matter immensely as far as who can play for the title.
Right.
Who you miss or where you get, who you play. The schedules aren't going to be made equally is what I'm trying to tell you.
Right.
Paragon TV tonight, 6:30 for girls, 8 o'clock for boys, Big Elk TV as well. Everybody have a great Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!
Tuesday, February 13th is the school investment election. The plan provides local students and the Canute community with a renovated gymnasium, including new flooring, new stands, new scoreboard, updated restrooms, accessibility improvements, and more. The plan also includes upgrades to the school's science lab to promote more hands-on learning and experiments. Polls will be open from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. Please take time to vote on this important election, because your voice and your vote matter.